This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Good morning, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son.
And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey there, welcome to our Common Sense Show, heard all over the country and all over the world on the World Wide Web. Jim Brown here, got a lively show with you today. We're broadcasting from our flagship station, WJBO, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana today. Shane Parr is handling the duties as my producer up in our production and transmission headquarters up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And by the way, next week I'll be up in New York City, or Atlantic City too, all our listeners in that part of the country, WNJ, 1450 AM. In Atlantic City, WVNJ, 1160 AM in New York City and surrounding areas. So we look forward to be broadcasting our show, Making Some Common Sense, on the East Coast. Following week, I'll be down in the Carolinas. I love the Carolina moon. I love North Carolina. I'm an old Tar Heel where I went to school at Chapel Hill many, many years ago. And we'll be coming up there with some of our listeners, WDSL, 1520 AM in Mockville, North Carolina. Statesville, home of some great country music, bluegrass music, WSIC, 1400 AM at Statesville, North Carolina. We'll see you guys up there in a couple of weeks. This is an historic weekend. A little history to you, and some of you younger listeners may not realize it, but 40 years ago this weekend, the only president of the United States who ever stepped down for office, who would ever resign, Richard Nixon, did step down. And he became, as I say, the first and only president to do so, all over this event called Watergate. You've heard about it. But if you weren't there, you missed one of the most riveting episodes of American history. Nixon had survived a number of bitter political fights, but he'd always been able to bounce back. But his own words in secret recordings that he personally authorized in the Oval Office, that was his final downfall. And so we heard his words when he went to the podium, spoke to the whole country 40 years ago this weekend. Here's what he said.
Yes, sir. I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Phil will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Just an unbelievable time. It's hard to explain the tension that went through that particular period of time. Nixon was really an interesting guy. In my opinion, one of the most interesting presidents. I met him on a couple of occasions. I'll share some stories with you about him. He had been vice president, been a U.S. senator, and knew John Kennedy, who he ran against for president. He ran for it, whether he was selected for vice president when Dwight Eisenhower was president, served 2 years as vice president. Then he lost his bid for president in a very close race with Kennedy. A lot of you, if you go back over the history books, will find that many observers even today feel like that Chicago stole the election, and Mayor Daley up there switched about 10,000 votes. There was also some shenanigans in South Illinois that really turned a very close election from Nixon into Kennedy's favor. And so Nixon was defeated. 2 years later, he tried a political comeback running for governor of California, but was defeated by then-Governor Pat Brown. By the way, his son is the state's governor today. Nixon told reporters after he was defeated for governor, look, I'm through with politics, and here was his famous quote, they won't have Nixon to kick around anymore. But after a couple of years, you know, he had the political bug and rumor surfaced that he might again be interested in the Republican nomination for president. Well, this was 1966. He'd been defeated in 1964. I was the president of the Tulane Law School at the time, finishing up my senior year to be a lawyer. And one of my chores was to arrange speakers to come down for the speakers program the law school sponsored. And on a whim, I was always like Nixon, I wrote him a letter, and I asked him to address the Tulane student body. Figured he was never going to do so. He was practicing law at that time, I believe, up in New York City. Well, to my surprise, he accepted. And he came to Tulane, had a fairly big entourage with him. I had the chance to have a little private lunch with him at the Tulane Center, the student center in New Orleans. We talked a good bit. He quizzed me about my Louisiana politics, asked about a number of questions about my background and future plans. And I found the guy engaging and funny and quite the dominating figure one would expect of a former vice president. Had the great honor of introducing him to this packed crowd, and it was obvious from his remarks that he was running for president again. Then he invited his wife, rather my soon wife-to-be, and he and his wife to a big fundraising dinner that evening, and had a chance to visit him a little bit more at that particular time. Nixon's, one of his key aides pulled me over and said, "Would you, the president or the president-to-be wonders whether you have an interest in coming to New Hampshire and heading up a young people for Nixon if he decides to run for president." I thought about that. I was tempted. But I was about to get married, going to practice law in New Orleans, and I passed on the opportunity. Then I met Nixon one more time. We had a very famous U.S. senator named Alan Ellender, who died in July of 1972. And Nixon came down for the funeral. I was a young state senator, and I went to the funeral, too, in a small South Louisiana town called Houma, Louisiana. And I got there a little early, and the fellow in charge of all the funeral activities was a colleague of mine named Senator Claude Duval. I didn't have an invitation. I knew all these big VIPs were going to come, the president, the vice president, most of the Senate down for Alan Ellender's funeral. So I'm just there with a crowd of about 1,000 people outside the church. I was up on the barrier, standing by the barrier. Claude Duval happened to come by. I said, "Hey, Claude." He said, "Jim, I didn't know you were coming down." He said, "Come on, come on." And he slipped me in the barrier and got me in the church very early. Hardly anybody was in the church. So he sits me down right in the center. Well, about 30 minutes later, all the dignitaries came in. Ted Kennedy, Vice President Spiro Agnew, Gerald Ford, the future president. They all came marching in, and, of course, leading the entourage was Richard Nixon, the president of the United States. And lo and behold, the Secret Service set him down directly in front of me, right in front of me. Well, he turned around to see what was behind him. I introduced myself and reminded him of his visit to Tulane and the offer to go up to New Hampshire. He said I'd missed a great opportunity. Water grate, however, proved otherwise. But he also told me that if he had to be living and working somewhere, I was in a great place down in Louisiana. He's certainly right about that. But very interesting guy, shortchanged in history. If you look over history in terms of what Nixon did, he was a very important president in terms of international relations. At the time that he did take office, we had some 500,000 troops in Vietnam. We were losing 300 Americans killed a week. He got us out of Vietnam. It was not a victory, but at least he got us out with some honor, shut the whole thing down. He negotiated with the Russians the first major arms control treaty. Remember, he went to China, the first American president to go to China. He felt like China was this massive growing force in Asia, and he felt like we should have a relationship with them. And he took us to China, and we kind of did some thawing there. He was very important in some of the Israeli peace talks. He got Egypt to pull out of the Soviet bloc and became our ally. And I guess as far as Israel, probably the greatest friend Israel ever had. Point I'm saying is Nixon made a lot of positive effects on this country. When he took office, 10% of Southern schools were desegregated. When he left office, it was 70%. So he was the first American. He was the president who confected the idea of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. I can go on and on with you. Created the Cancer Institute, the Environmental Protection Agency. So Nixon, in fairness, should get his due because he made some major contributions. But of course, Watergate colored it all. and he resigned in disgrace. If you want to read all about it, I wrote a lengthy column at my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. You'll read the column there. See a picture of Nixon and I. So, again, that's www.jimbrownusa.com. We've got a full show, lively show. Hope you'll freshen up your coffee and come on back with Jim Brown. We'll make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House Freeze Dry Foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we'll talk a little bit about history, the fact that 40 years ago this weekend that President Richard Nixon resigned, the only president to resign in office. And then Gerald Ford, the guy that succeeded him, was really an interesting guy because he was never elected at all. You see, he was the majority leader, Speaker of the House up in Washington, D.C., a congressman from Michigan, and very nice guy. Everybody liked Gerald Ford. Well, the then Vice President Spiro Agnew, who was the Vice President under Richard Nixon, resigned from office in a big scandal where he was taking cash from contractors. Terrible situation. So when that happened, the president would nominate and the Congress would confirm a new vice president till the next election. Nixon selected Gerald Ford, really not his first choice, I'm told, but he felt like Ford was the guy who could be confirmed, that everybody in the Congress liked him. And he'd served in Congress a long time. I met him when he came down to Louisiana. He was very close friends with our governor down here in Louisiana, Edwin Edwards, came over to the governor's mansion. And Edwards said, well, you know, I came home to run for Congress. And Ford said, I'm just going to hang around Congress and see what happens. Who knows? Something may strike big for me. And it certainly did. When I was at the governor's mansion, I dated a girl when I was at the University of North Carolina who was from the congressman's hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we shared a few pleasantries there. I had a chance to visit them a little bit at that point in time. And then the second time that I met him was at the Allen Elder funeral where I met President Nixon. The vice president was then there, and we visited a little bit since I was about the only person that got in the gate because I knew the guy in charge of the funeral. That was the second time that we talked, and really the only other time I ever talked to him. And then, of course, Nixon resigned.
The presidency or the vice presidency. I have not subscribed to any partisan platform. I am indebted to no man.
That was Gerald Ford the day he was sworn in. I'm sure he was very shocked that he was sworn in. He knew Watergate was coming. He knew the Watergate scandals were up, and he knew that there was an outside chance that Richard Nixon might resign, but Ford had no idea. Remember, a year earlier, now he's just a member of Congress. Then he's all of a sudden he's vice president, and now there's rumors that he might be president of the United States. Just in such an emotional time, such a riveting time. And when he found out, quite frankly, this is my final trilogy of my story, so I'm going to tell you today. I've had a hankering, and it was the third and only other time we ever met. I went down to a dinner that was a Chamber of Commerce-type speech at the Grand Ole Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. Remember the Roosevelt Hotel? It's still there. It changed the name to the Fairmont. Now it's back to the Roosevelt. Used to broadcast Saturday night from the Blue Room, Leon Kellner's orchestra on WWL radio. You could hear that all over the country. New York, California, everybody listened to the music from the Roosevelt Hotel. Well, Gerald Ford is in the Roosevelt Hotel. This is August the 7th, 1974, and he was making a speech there. And I happened to listen to the speech, and I wanted to get out early because I was a young lawyer at the time. I was also a senator, and I had to get back to the state capitol in Baton Rouge about an hour away. So I sat in the back, and Ford was making his speech, and then I looked up, and one of his aides came up to the podium and whispered something in his ear. This is a noon speech in New Orleans. And he very hastily finished up his remarks, said how much he enjoyed it, and then quickly got off the podium. And the minute he got off the podium, I could see out of my corner of my eye about six Secret Service men surrounding him, and they pushed him out the back door, which about into the kitchen, to get him out so he didn't have to go through all the crowd. Well, I'm in the back of the room anyway, so I make it down the escalator, and I've decided to pause a minute before I went out the door of the Fairmont Hotel, Roosevelt Hotel, and I waited there, and you could see the rush of Secret Service people bringing Ford very quickly down the hallway. It was a long, long hallway there, if you've ever been in the Roosevelt Hotel. He came down the hallway, and it was a very narrow doorway where he was standing, so he had to come within about 3 feet of me. And the Secret Service man kind of brushed me as he's taking and pushing the vice president outside the door and said, wait a minute, something's going on here. Something is going on. And, of course, the rumor's been flying that he was that Nixon might be resigning. Well, of course, this is the day that Ford found out. What we later found out was that General Haig, who was the chief of staff to Nixon, had called the aide to Ford and told Ford, get back to Washington. Nixon is going to resign. So he rushes out the door, and I'm 3 feet away. And just on an impulse, I hollered out, good luck and Godspeed to you, Mr. President. And he paused for just a second and glanced my way. And he gave me a very serious look, and he nodded. Then he went out the door into the limousine, and they sped away to the airport. Paused and looked my way, and I realized that instant, and I really believe this, honestly believe this, that I was the first person to call Gerald Ford Mr. President. When he looked at me, it completely dawned on him. I was the first guy to call him Mr. President. The other aides were coming, he was still the vice president officially, but he looked out the door and I hit him and he looked at me just for a second and kind of nodded, and very serious nodded. And I think I related to him in some way that, look, you are the president, you're going to be president, and what a burden on his shoulders. So he rushed back, and of course he found out that night that he was going to be president. Next day, Nixon resigns. You heard it here on this show, his words, and Gerald Ford becomes our president. Thought he was a good president. The new president was taken over, huge favorability rating. Everybody liked Gerald Ford. And then he reopened the wounds that were very hard for him to close. He pardoned Richard Nixon. I think politically it was a terrible mistake. Was the right thing for the country? Yes. Because the urge to charge and bring a trial for Nixon would have been so discerning, would have torn the country apart, it would have captivated what we were trying to do. And this is a very difficult time. Of course, it's not more difficult than it is today, I guess, but the world was very much in arms after Vietnam, and there was a lot of issues to deal with. And I think Ford said it's just not right for the country to be put through all this, to be torn apart in this way. Let's go ahead and pardon him and put it behind us. And again, I think it was the right call for him. Although many would argue that the pardon was the key reason why he was not reelected. Jimmy Carter, you recall, went ahead and announced and was elected president of the United States. So fascinating time. I never met Gerald Ford after that, had those three brief encounters. But whatever history shows, I'm convinced and will always be convinced I was the first guy to look Gerald Ford in the eye and call him Mr. President. Hey, got a great show coming up. We've got some really interesting guests for you today. We're going to talk about robots as caregivers. We're also going to talk about how our country may be not as close as it used to be. A new book out that talks about we don't even know our neighbors anymore. So a full agenda, my website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You can sign up for my newsletters, have some fun, and read my column about Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Hey folks, this is Larry Crisp for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know, this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionally, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789 and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. An HB extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're seeing a lot of changes, social changes coming on. Some of you have a little network on Facebook, or you deal with family, but in terms of the secondary level of your neighbors, people you deal with within your community, a lot of changes are taking place that may be for the good or may be for the bad. Interesting book, new book out called The Vanishing Neighbor, The Transformation of American Community. It's by Professor Mark J. Dunkelman. He's a professor up at Brown University. I like that name, Brown University, and also involved in the Center for Public Policy and American Institutions. He's also a senior fellow at the Clinton Foundation, written this interesting book that's creating a lot of buzz around. Hey, Professor Dunkelman, good to talk to you today. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little about what you mean about this vanishing neighbor. You're not talking about my neighbor next door, whose trash blows on my yard, whose trees on his yard falls on me. I'm not quite as happy about my own neighbor. But tell us what you're talking about when you say the vanishing neighbor in terms of our lives in America today.
So I think three really interesting things have happened over the last few decades. The first is we've gotten an opportunity, and we've taken it, to spend much more of our time and attention on our closest family and friends. So when my grandfather kissed my grandmother goodbye in the morning, they didn't talk for the rest of the day. Already, I've been in touch with my wife, who took our kids to see some friends this morning, three or four times this morning. So on the whole, Americans are much tighter with their best friends, with their spouses, with their parents, with their children. Second important thing is we're much tighter now with people we don't know well at all, but whom we have some common interest. We're both fans of the LSU Tigers. We both love to crochet. We both love something along those lines. Maybe we're liberals. Maybe we're conservatives. But now, because of the Internet, but because of suburbanization, because of a whole variety of shifts in American life, we're much tighter with these people with whom we have really tenuous ties in the sense that we really just span across a single issue that we're interested in. The third issue is the one that I really think we need to focus on and which we've ignored, which is that because we're so much tighter with those very close relationships and also with these more distant relationships, the relationships in between, neighborly relationships, between people you know but aren't really intimately familiar with, have withered. So the person who knows you well enough because you live down the street, they would know if your kid were struggling in algebra, they would know if your wife lost her job, you know a whole variety of things about that person. Those are relationships that are gone, so that we, by and large, don't know our neighbors as well as our grandparents did.
And I would agree with you on that, because often our neighbors were an extension. They were a crutch. We didn't have cell phones to stay in constant contact. We didn't have a variety of ways we could communicate, and therefore our neighbors were necessary for us as kind of a communications network that we deal with, who would know a variety of things. But I guess my question to you is, what's the downside of that, though? If I'm plugged into my family, if through better communications I'm in touch with things I need, or whether it's police protection or my doctor or whatever, what is the downside of that lessening? And I agree with you. I don't know my neighbors down the block like I did 25, 30 years ago, where I knew everybody in the block. And from a social mobility point of view, it's probably good that we know our neighbors. Well, what's the downside, do you think, for where we are today?
Neighbors are the means by which regular, everyday Americans learn about people who have different points of view. Your family loves you no matter what. Those outer ring relationships, the people who have, you know, root for the same football team or have the same political interests, if they change their interests, you might stop talking to them. But right there, your neighbors, the people up and down the street, or just people who you know enough to know something about, maybe you borrowed a cup of sugar, maybe your kids are at the same middle school, so you're in the same PTA, that's where you meet people who have different points of view. And it's where you can't turn away from them simply because you disagree about gun rights or about abortion or about how to square the federal deficit. Those relationships are were the means by which we built political compromise and found mutual accommodation in American life. And without that sort of exposure in our everyday routines, it's made it so that Americans are voting into office people who are much more conservative down the line and much more progressive down the line. And it makes it, even if those folks who we elect to office are moderate or see the benefit of collaboration, it makes them think twice about whether they want to reach across the aisle and find a way to work together with people who hold different points of view.
I agree with you about the blending of points of view by being interactive, but I guess the question is, is this the world in which we live? I mean, we're stuck with it. I don't see any way that we're going to become any more interactive in this. If anything, because of crime in this country, fear of crime, we're putting up gates around our house. We're living in gated communities. It seems like we're going to be even less likely, more so in the future, to have these relationships and know our community at large than we do today. So is there, I think it's going to get worse before it gets any better. Do you agree with me on that or not?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. There have been other times in American history where there were big changes in American life. For instance, at the turn of the 20th century, Americans moved generally away. No, not all of them. Obviously, there were still a lot of Americans in the countryside. But it's when many families streamed into the cities. And people who were observing the cities at the time and saw them just teeming with people thought, oh, man, America's community is falling apart. And it turned out that a generation or two later, neighborhoods and cities began to take on much of the same social architecture, if you will, the same sort of township-oriented life of different people talking to their neighbors that had existed in the more pastoral past. And it seems possible that the same thing will happen again, that my children or other people's children, that the future generations will desire again to get to know their neighbors well and really invest again. Barring that...
Yeah, I agree. Oh, go ahead.
Barring that, it seems to me that there are two things that we can do to try to rebuild these relationships between people who are familiar but not intimate. The first is create more opportunities for people to meet people, even if it's not on their street. So, for instance, when you and I think of AmeriCorps, we tend to think about the projects that people do to help their communities, whatever it is. But the auxiliary benefit of AmeriCorps is that people from different places, from Louisiana and New York and Texas and California, who are put together on the same team and work together for 18 months, who might not ever get to know one another, they're going to begin to have exposure to one another. And I think that those relationships will last a lifetime. The second thing that we can do, it seems to me, is try to build in our kids, imbue them with the grit it takes to build a relationship with someone who has a different point of view. And that's something that's often missing from our curriculum and which we're very lucky to now know. There's a whole school of educational scholars who are...
And hey, Mark, we got to take a pause right now. I'm going to tell our listeners we're talking to Professor Mark Dunkelman. His book, The Vanishing Neighbor, How We're Transforming Our American Communities, maybe not in the best way, and what we can do about it. You can find the book on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. That's www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll talk some more about this vanishing neighbor in our changing communities with Professor Dunkelman right after we take this break. Freshen up your coffee. Come on back. We'll make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're talking to Professor Mark Dunkelman. He's written an interesting new book, a controversial book about the vanishing neighbor, the transformation of the American community. And I was asking, by the way, you can find the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Mark, well, let me ask you this. You talk about the disassociation. We don't know what our neighbors are doing down the street. What do you think about Congress? You can almost say the same thing about them. I know I was in politics in Louisiana for a number of years, and I know we talked earlier on the show about the death of a former Senator Alan Ellender. Remember, Ellender used to make a pledge to go to every single county every single year and have town hall meetings. The congressmen and the senators came back to the district so much, and now we never see them anywhere in the country. They have these virtual telephone conferences where you can kind of listen in if you want to. They don't show up at the local Rotary Club, and they don't come back on the weekends, and they're not in our communities. That they're so aloof and so distant, and maybe that's why that overwhelmingly Congress has such a low approval rating in this country. So they mirror the same problem you talk about. Is that a fair statement?
You know, I think there may be something to that. I think there's actually there's an ironic element here as well, which is that in many cases, members of Congress today go home so frequently that they don't know their fellow members of Congress. So that when they've got an idea that they think might appeal to people who have different points of view or to a member of Congress from a neighboring district that's very conservative and they're progressive, or the neighboring district is very progressive and they're conservative, they don't know their colleague well enough, because the moment there's a last vote in Congress, they fly back home to their districts. And so none of them know anyone to do a collaboration with. That being said, I think you're absolutely right that the absence of being able to go to a Rotary Club or a Kiwanis Club or to a PTA meeting and actually get to know your constituents and begin talking some common sense, it becomes much harder to do things that make sense in Washington.
And you can see that, again, I've in my business, being in the media and having been in politics, I get invited to speak to a number of organizations. We don't have as many Rotary clubs anymore. We don't have as many Lions clubs. We don't have small local bookstores anymore. You know, you don't go chit-chat with your neighbors in the Walmart section of books. You used to go have coffee and chit-chat with your neighbors at the local bookstore. And so it's a whole different vein of venue that plays right into what you're talking about, the lack of interaction with people, particularly of different views. We just don't. So we tend to associate with those that think like us. And as a consequence, we gerrymandered Congress to where, you know, if you're not of the party, if you're not in the other side's party, you have no reason to collaborate. They're the enemy. You beat up on them all the time. There's no reason to get together and talk over mutually beneficial solutions that make some common sense, if you will. We just don't have that impetus out of the way Congress is structured. You think?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, can I tell you? I don't live in Washington anymore, but I did for a long time, and I worked in politics, and I was an aide to some members of Congress, and I'd fly home to Buffalo. My dad lives in Buffalo, and every time I flew home, I'd get in the car from the airport, and he'd turn to me and say, "What are you guys doing down there?" And I thought about that question a lot, and I kept on using the excuses you always hear. There's too much money in politics. There's the filibusters used too much. There are too many lobbyists. There are too many special interests. And as I went through all of those explanations, which we all hear all the time, I began to realize none of those things are any different from the way it used to be. There have always been special interests demanding things from people in Washington. There have always been lobbyists. 100 years ago, Pierre DuPont was so angry at Woodrow Wilson that he gave in the 1916 presidential election almost $100,000 in real dollars to Woodrow Wilson's opponent, right? These are all things that have existed forever. The question is, what's changed? What's made it so that only now Washington has really become dysfunctional? And what I think we're not talking about enough are these connections that you and I and all of our neighbors used to have that we don't anymore, because I think that's the real root change and the reason that people are so frustrated with Washington.
Now, bring this home, though. How do you think it may grind down our politics, although you said there's always had these confrontations, and it may affect my social involvement within my neighborhood, but what about the economy? How does the breakdown of this secondary tier of your relationships in your neighborhoods really had to do with the American economy, which is front and center affecting so many people today and something that's on all of our minds?
Yeah. The economy grows when we have new ideas. New ideas for new technologies and new ways to provide things for people and more efficiencies. And new ideas don't come from lightning from the sky. New ideas come when people with different backgrounds talk to one another. That's the scholarship on where innovation comes from. It comes from people finding different ideas and saying, look, that's how a tractor works. I wonder how we could use that in a military environment. That's how Ernest Swinton came up with the militarized tank. He was looking at a tractor, right? Or Velcro came when somebody was walking through a field and got a cockle burr on his pants. Like, these are all ideas that happen when different people with different ideas start talking to one another. And if you're only talking to people that already agree with you, you're not going to have as many good ideas. So the question is whether we can build environments where people with different ideas are talking to each other frequently enough that a few of them have really big ideas that begin to drive the economy and growth again.
All right, Mark, how about this now? How about, though, American mobility? You write that the social structure was pretty set because people just didn't move very much. You grew up where you were born, and you had your relationships that you built up over a long period of time, where my daughter just moved to Houston, Texas, unfortunately for me, and took my granddaughter and moved over just this week and went into a brand-new neighborhood. They're starting from scratch and meeting friends. They don't really have any friends over there outside of their business associates. And so American mobility certainly plays a role in the breaking down of these relationships over the years, I would think.
I think it cuts both ways. I think you're absolutely right. People don't know the people that they grew up with. But now, you'll be able to Skype or FaceTime with your granddaughter, I bet. I bet you your daughter will keep in touch with many of her friends from back home because they'll be on Facebook together and they'll be able to tweet and whatnot. And it may well be that when they get to Houston, they never develop the kinds of relationships with their new neighbors that you had with the neighbors you had when you were growing up. And so it cuts both ways. Look, you want to have that relationship with your granddaughter even though she's moved away. We all do. This is not an issue where we're trying to blame people for doing anything wrong. The issue, though, is that this is what we do. We now have the ability to move, even when we move, to stick around and only talk to people who we love and who we agree with. And if in the absence of talking to people who are different and have different points of view and withstanding the impulse to turn away from them, we're not getting the collaboration we need in Washington. We're not getting the economic growth. And if folks read my book, they'll see this is one of the reasons that we're having so much trouble taking care of people who need a hand up. Because it used to be that the Rotary Club and these different organizations and the ties that we had in our neighborhoods were taking care of people who were stuck in their homes or needed help because they'd gotten old or infirm. And now those relationships have withered.
Hmm. Well, one final question then to you. How do you see our world, our country 10 years from now? You think we're going to find a way to blend and work on these relationships and find more common ground, or do you think it's going to be just as pessimistic then as it is today?
I'm very optimistic. I think that America is unusually resilient and that American exceptionalism lives strong because even when there have been big changes in the rhythms of our lives, we found ways to reform the institutions of American life, the way we govern ourselves, the way we grow the economy, the way we take care of those who need a hand up. We found ways to adapt, and I think we will again.
Well, I hope you're right, and we'll watch it and hopefully have a chance to talk some more. The book is called The Vanishing Neighbor, The Transformation of American Community. Professor Mark J. Dunkelman. Mark, glad to have you on the show today. Interesting subject, challenging subject, and something that debate's been going for a long time to come. Take care. Have a nice weekend. Hope we can talk to you again in the future.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. Well, what do? Do you get to know your neighbors? I mean, and he's right. I need to do a better job with my neighbors. We've got a little website now for the neighborhood that I'm starting to see a lot more new neighbors coming in we're talking about. Hey, you've got to take a break right now for the top of the news. Come on back and talk about robots in your life. Interesting subject. JimBrownUSA.com is my website. Be back right after the news.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.